This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lewitzo. NASA has established a Solar System Exploration Research Virtual Institute, CERVI for short. There are 9 teams and international partners working to address scientific questions about the moon, near-Earth asteroids, and the Martian moons as well. A Purdue professor is part of the effort. Dr. Barrett Caldwell is with the School of Industrial Engineering and has a courtesy appointment with the School of Aeronautics and Astronautics. He joins me in the studio to talk about NASA's new institute and some other things as they come up. Thanks for coming in and congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk about first how you got involved. Was there an application process, a nomination process?
It started out actually probably at the beginning of 2013. I was interacting with some colleagues and one of them said, oh, we've heard about your work. We'd like you to be involved in our team. And can you come out to California for a couple of days and work with the research group and see what happens? That's how it started. And it was a really exciting group, both on the phone and the people in the room. And I was the human factors person, looking at team performance and information flow and coordination and how people in different expertise areas share knowledge. And that was a piece that they felt that was a really important part of how we do long-duration spaceflight and how we do human-robotic cooperation. So I became involved and helped write the proposal. We were happy to receive the announcement of the award.
So you were in sort of on the ground floor putting this all together before you were actually assigned to one of these teams.
Right. I was asked to be part of the finesse team, which is what we call it, and being able to talk to the different geologists and roboticists and other scientists and engineers and be able to use some of my background to help understand some of the spaceflight issues, but also the team communication, the mission control aspects of how do we get people a long way away to share information and perform very, very dangerous work in an unknown environment.
So how does this compare with some other human spaceflight panels? I know the National Academy is, I guess, looking at that.
Right, and those are mostly advisory or oversight things. This is a project where we're actually supposed to get real work done.
Okay.
So one of the project elements is to spend a couple of weeks every summer out in the field. And we're looking at Craters of the Moon National Park. There's some impact craters up in Quebec. There's some other very, very old lakes in British Columbia, and we're still trying to figure out which of these projects that we can do, given that we've had a fairly significant budget reduction that came with the award.
And your specific team is field investigations to enable solar system science and exploration. So, as you said, visiting the craters to give you all a better understanding, correct?
Right. And so we're asking, how do we get robots to come and do good science? How do we get humans to come and do good science? How do we get robots and humans to work together to do better science than either group could do by themselves? So, for instance, you know, I still get excited when we talk about the Mars Exploration Rover's Spirit and Opportunity and the Curiosity Rover. But the entire distance that all three rovers combined have traveled in up to 10 years is about what it would take a team of field geologists maybe a week and a half to cover if they were doing it on Earth. So you can't just plop a field geologist into a capsule smaller than this room and send them on a 9-month trip. But the robots can only drive a few tens of meters a day because they've never been there. Nobody else has been there. And so they need to be very, very careful, both in the software to say, well, that's an interesting rock, but also, no, that's a dangerous rock. Don't drive there. You'll get stuck or turn over, and there's nobody to put you back on your wheels.
The human aspect, the human touch really is the difference there.
Well, the human touch is really important, both from the creative response to challenges, but also from the perspective that if you're working in an unknown environment, it's almost impossible to program a robot or other software to say, here's this interesting thing that we didn't know to look for. And humans are very, very good at identifying these new patterns and saying, oh, I didn't expect to see that. Let's go take a look at that.
things with NASA timeline-wise, years, decades even? What is your charge, I guess? Do you have
set We do have milestones? A charge. It is a 5-year award, and we are supposed to start working probably sometime in the next month or two. We'll start up. We've got several years of work to go out into the field to utilize the existing knowledge about volcanic planetary science from impacts of meteorites creating craters, and then using that information, saying, what sorts of features would we like to look at, and what sorts of features are likely to be found if we were doing this sort of science on the moon, on an asteroid, on Phobos or Deimos.
What do you think is the possibility of getting humans back on the moon and then to Mars?
Technologically, I think that it's quite easy to get to the moon. Not quite easy, relatively so. That's a problem that we know how to solve. The transit, the docking, the landing are all things that we've demonstrated. The lunar regolith is a very hostile environment. It eats at your gears. It eats at your bearings. It eats at every surface that you can imagine. And so I think long-term stays on the moon are still especially challenging, and keeping the dust down so that it doesn't get into the living quarters is also quite a challenge, because it's so fine, it actually kind of operates like static electricity and sticks to things.
I think the last Apollo mission to the moon did have issues with that. Mm-hmm.
And some of my discussions with some of the Apollo astronauts, if we had to stay there for longer than a week, it would have started causing some real problems. That's something that, again, we didn't know that before. We've been able to learn a little bit more from that. So a long-term stay on the moon is still a challenge. Mars is a completely different level of challenge just to get there. We don't have the rockets capable of getting there in less than 7 to 9 months. And that's a very, very long time to be, in essence, a Winnebago. A Winnebago that is having cosmic rays thrown at it on a regular basis. So we have the issues of reduced gravity. We have the issues of space radiation, muscle atrophy. Now they're finding new problems with retinal detachment from long space stays. And all that's before you get there. And once you get there, then you need to be able to function in a gravitational environment with just enough atmosphere to make life a little bit difficult, but not enough to really use.
What do you hope to get out of this personally, and then just for the bigger picture of science?
Personally, I have to admit a little bit of it has a sort of childhood fantasy level to it, that I grew up wanting to be an astronaut, wanting to do long-duration spaceflight. And that's what I went to school for. That's what I got my PhD with an eye towards teams in long-duration spaceflight. And so to actually be able to work with NASA on how do we design not just the science of a mission, but the human exploration aspects of a mission, say, to Phobos or Deimos or to another asteroid, to say, okay, here's how teams can work together in that sort of environment. Here's how we design mission control. Here's how we do training. Here's how we understand.
We'll check back with you on how the team is working and the overall virtual institute, which has its probably its own challenges, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Barrett Caldwell is a professor of industrial engineering and part of NASA's new research effort. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzow.